Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife and co-host, Grace Garcia.
Hi.
What's up? How are you doing?
I'm good. I am currently trying to finish eating my protein cookie. Shout out to Samora. It's 20 grams per cookie.
Yeah, the thing's not really a cookie. It's more of like a muffin. Show them the muffin. Supposed to be a cookie.
ASMR, my husband's not drinking glue, but ASMR. It looks, yeah, it's pretty hefty.
But it's pretty good. I take one bite of those things a day.
And ChatGPT, when I tell them, like, I'm going to eat this cookie, because I have ChatGPT do all my, what is it? Like counting grams and stuff like that. When I tell ChatGPT, it's always like, wow, that cookie gave you a nice boost of protein. Now you have.
No, it's pretty good. You got how many? A dozen or more?
Yeah, a dozen.
But they only have like a shelf life of 4 days?
Yeah, I have to stuff my face tomorrow. Tomorrow all I'm eating is cookies for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I've been trying to help you. I think first day I ate one. And then after that, I think I've eaten a total of two. But I tried, like yesterday, because I had like a hard, intense workout, I ate a full cookie.
Okay.
But every other day, I just take one bite.
Why?
Okay, so if you guys don't know me, I have a sweet tooth. And so if I see cookies, it's just like I start twitching. Or if I see ice cream, I start twitching and just one scoop, one bite, just to kill the craving, you know? And it's the same thing with Coke, too. Like, I can't see Coke.
I know, I had a dump it yesterday.
Yeah, but it went bad already, but.
Yeah, I wasn't good.
But yeah, those are my weaknesses. So I take one bite, and plus it's a protein cookie too. So I'm just like inside of me, just justifying it. Just like, oh, one bite, it's not gonna hurt. It's got some protein in it.
Yeah,
it's gonna curb my craving. But yeah, other than that, anything new with you? Same old, same old.
Yeah, it's ramping up to be the beginning of the school year, so I am low-key kind of like teachers, which I had my teacher coworkers message me already like, no, we're dreading it. And people are like, okay, you guys still have this week and next week, like big mm-hmm. deal. But for the teacher community, we see it as like one huge prolonged Sunday scary, where it's just like, oh my gosh, like we're just preparing.
I feel like teachers are so dramatic.
Oh my goodness.
They're so dramatic.
Get it. It's so frustrating. I wish he was an educator. And so it's just like so much has to be done before then. So we just feel like we say Sunday's scary because that Sunday we have to make sure everything's prepped before Monday.
You guys have like a name for everything. What is it? Rocktober? And what else?
Yeah.
There's like 1 or 2 months that are like really tough for you guys.
March. They call it like Farch or something. But yeah, so I've been trying to go to the classrooms to prepare, but with my kids, they get really bored. Or they'll do like a side mess, which just kind of defeats the purpose. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. But thankfully my sister and my best friend have been willing to watch the kids here and there while I try to get in. So that's been super helpful. But, I'm definitely like in that end of like, oh my goodness, it's going to be over my summer.
Mm-hmm.
But this summer, I think overall has been good. I've been focusing on working out. I think that's probably been my biggest focus, just working out.
Oh, we should tell them about Saturday. So sorry to switch your topic. Okay. But so on Saturday, for the first time ever, me and my wife went for our first run. And guys should have seen the smile on this girl's face while she was running with me. And so we started the run. Her and Nancy started a couple minutes before me. Took me about like a mile to catch up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then sure enough, Grace's pride starts flaring up and just like, I want to run at your pace. I'm like, no, stay with Nancy. No, I want to run at your pace.
It wasn't pride.
It was a little bit of pride. Fine. You wanted to test yourself, I'm assuming?
Okay, I was excited to run with you, A.
Uh-huh.
We haven't run. We didn't have kids at that time. Again, shout out to Carrie, my best friend, watching them.
Yeah, we had a weekend kidless.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, we don't have kids. This is my time to run with you. And so I wanted to run with you. And then, I was like, I want to know if I can keep up. Like, I want to see if I've been like working at this, like improving, like if it's going to be easy for me, hard for me, like that kind of threshold. Mm-hmm. So kind of to gauge where I'm at. It wasn't pride. I wasn't going to do it long run. I knew I couldn't sustain that for like 5 miles. Like there's no way.
Yeah. So when I first caught up to you, you tried and I kind of told you, no, stay with Nancy. You guys ran 4 miles before you turned around and I ran 4.5 and then I caught up to you guys. And on the second time that I caught up to you guys, that's when Nancy was just like, no, just go run with him, whatever. And it made me pretty happy to see you run with me. But what made me even happier is like how happy you were. Like you were happy. You were happy during, you were happy right after, you were happy for like the rest of the day. Just like that we ran together. And then after that, we did our first week of our tribe group, the running tribe group, Trailblazers, mm-hmm. which was, I would say, a great success. We had 22 people show up. We had a great run. We went out for coffee after. I feel like everybody left encouraged,
yeah,
motivated. And, you know, the chat that we have has been pretty lively. And it was, I feel like it was a beautiful and great Saturday. And then you convinced me to do Pilates with you and Nancy. And so we went Sunday morning because, again, we didn't have
the kids.
And so we got the opportunity. And then, again, you were, like, so happy. And honestly, like, it makes me happy to see you happy and, like, that we're just, yeah, like, we're best friends and we're doing things together. So.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a great weekend, guys. It was a great weekend. We celebrated on Saturday our 9th year anniversary, although it was on Tuesday, July 29th. So, yeah, we made it to 9 years.
Nine years.
Had that conversation about marriage and leadership and submission last week, which was a great topic. I think we had a great conversation. And I really liked, I keep rewatching that one vulnerable moment that we had where, you know, told you how much I love you and you started tearing up. And it made me start thinking about everything that we've been through. It made me start thinking about all the growth that has happened, all the challenges and the struggles that we've been through together, the breaking points that we've been through together. And it started making me just reflect on just life lessons. And I don't think we've ever really done just like kind of just a life lessons episode. You know, we kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, talk about things here and there, certain characteristics and stuff. But I don't think we've talked about life lessons. So today, the topic is life lessons, which I kind of want to ask or have us both share. What are the top life lessons that we've learned? What made us learn it? And why is it that we haven't been able to like shake it off? And not that we want to shake it off, but like what has made it just permanent in our minds and our hearts? So let's start with you. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think about a life lesson that you know that you'll never forget, that you'll carry on until the end of days, and that every opportunity that you get, you'll probably be sharing it with other people because you feel like it's important to them?
The first thing that comes to mind is probably going to be like sounding strange, but just bear with me. Mm-hmm. It'll make sense. I think my biggest life's lesson had to do with breastfeeding. And the reason why breastfeeding is, before I got pregnant, I knew breastfeeding was super important. Like my mom breastfed all 4 kids and she was a huge advocate for breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And so I already knew like I want to breastfeed my kid. I looked up the importance and just the beautiful bond you create. And I was like, I'm going to breastfeed my kid. And I told you that I want to breastfeed no matter what. And you were like on board. And so fast forward, he comes out, my son, I birth him out. And then he doesn't, I thought he latched properly, but I don't know what it feels like. And mind you, I'm the first in my like immediate family to have a baby. My mom passed away, so I don't have that help. My friends don't have babies yet. Like, I feel like I'm kind of in this journey alone. And so I thought like, oh, I'm doing a good job. I don't know. But then I take him to his checkup and he has jaundice. Do you remember he had to kept getting like finger poked and mm-hmm. his blood drawn? And we were trying to figure out what's going on. Like, why is his levels not good?
Yeah.
I kept putting him out in the sun like they told me to. And then they asked me, how much are you like feeding him or whatever? And I was like, oh, like this. And they were like, that's not enough. So basically, I was like starving him, my poor baby. And they're like, that's not enough. You're going to have to give him formula because my milk wasn't coming in. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, that's fine. So they gave me like a hospital grade pump until my milk came in. But once my milk came in, I think he was already used to the formula that, or I don't know what happened, but he was just to not want my boob. Like mm-hmm. he would start screaming like bloody murder. And it was this whole process where I'd attach him, see if he attached until he screamed bloody murder, then I'd give him to David, pump. And once I pumped, then we'll give him the bottle. And mm-hmm. then we would repeat the process every 2 hours, every 3 hours. Like, and I remember I was frustrated, but I was like, I'm not going to give up. And so I went to Kaiser. Kaiser has a lactation consultant. And so I would go there like every day and they would weigh him before breastfeeding. Then I'd latch him on and then they'd weigh him after to see if he has enough. And they're like, no, he's not like latching properly. Like it's not, he can't do it. Like it was so frustrating because he would come off immediately. And so I went there for, I don't even remember, because when you're in it, it feels like forever those days. But I feel I want to say like a week or more, I would see kind of like a couple lactation consultants. And it was up to the point where I guess they kind of gave up on me. They were just like, I think, which TMI, but they're like, I think it has to do with your nipple. I'm sorry, you just can't breastfeed. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, what? And in my head, I was like, so you're telling me if it was like back in the cave days and I gave birth to this baby, like he would die because mm-hmm. I just can't. Yeah. Like it's yeah. supposed to be a natural thing. Like I was so confused. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't take it like as a no. Like I was so stubborn, I think. And so I decided to go on Facebook groups and I was hearing a lot of people say like, go to a La Leche League, which are kind of like little small groups. They meet at the park and they're all about like breastfeeding and things like that. And there's some lactation consultants there called La Leche League. And so they're all over the world. But I met up with one at the park. I took him and I felt kind of bad because everyone, it was a bunch of women with their babies. They were just breastfeeding and I was like struggling. And the lactation consultant in that group came and saw me, and I told her that I went to see lactation consultants and they told me like what they said. And she was like, no, I'm so sorry you went through that, but you're not nipple feeding, you're breastfeeding. Like it doesn't matter the size or whatever it has to do with. She's like, you can do it. Like, don't give up or mm-hmm. stuff like that. And so I took that in mind and then I just kept going. And I'm so glad because it wasn't until 4 months, which probably sounds like a little bit, but again, try working out for 4 months, eating healthy for 4 months, like that ends up being, you feel like it's a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I stuck with it again, breastfeeding him until he was screaming bloody murder, pumping, giving him the bottle and like that process. And magically when he was 4 months, he just like got it. Like he just magically got it. And I think it was like the not giving up process or probably because his latch was stronger. But point is, I wouldn't have known if I just thought like, oh, I just can't, and then give him the bottle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have known if it was a me issue, if it was a him issue, if he would have eventually got it. But I was able to breastfeed him for like 2 years and a few months, which was my goal. Because I know I personally was breastfed for 2 years. I was the longest. And I feel like me and my mom, low-key, I was a favorite. And I'm like, maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. And it was such a beautiful experience. I loved it. And I breastfed my daughter up until she was like 3.
Yeah.
And it's just something that you can't replace it. You truly can't replace it. And I'm not trying to say like breastfeeding is like superior or like shame moms. This is just my journey and like my experience. But when moms in the beginning of their journey, when they are struggling or where they talk about breastfeeding, I tell them like, if that's something you really, really want to do it, like fight for it. Obviously, if it's to the point where your mental sanity is suffering or there's like if you're not in a good place or you didn't even care that much, then obviously fed is best, like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But if you if this is something you really, really want, like, don't tell anyone or the situation, like, tell you no, like, fight for it. And so, yeah, that's just always the first story that, like, pops up. I know it sounds like we're like, oh, breastfeeding, but for me, it was a huge lesson.
So I feel like there's a couple of lessons in there, but like, what's like the main point? Do you feel like, does that translate into other things of your life, or is that, would you say just for breastfeeding?
No, for sure. Other things in my life, like first lesson, the most obvious one is like, don't give up. Mm-hmm. Like if you want something really bad, just don't give up. 'Cause you don't know when you'll get your breakthrough. So I don't know. A lot of people have probably seen this meme where there's two men who are like mining, in a cave or a tunnel or something looking for gold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one like gives up and the other one just was like an inch farther and he caught it, but the other guy wouldn't have known because he gave up and then it's just right there. And so for me, it's like, if you want something, and even like TikTok, it's like, you never know what video, it could be the next video, but you gave up two videos short or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, don't give up. But then the other one is like, if I'm made for something, like you're made for it. Like, don't let anyone tell you that you're not made for something. Yeah. And I still have to remind myself that, like, I know I'm a teacher. I know I have wisdom, and I know, like, I meant to just share and educate people in different aspects of life. And sometimes I, like, get caught up into my head and I'm like, no, this is what God created me for. So he's going to equip me. I have to do the action and obviously, like, learn, but he's got me. Like, this is what I'm made for. And so I have to remind myself of, like, no, this is what I'm created for. Just like, no, I can breastfeed. Like, this is natural. Mm-hmm. And so I think those two big lessons kind of stand out from that story.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that stands out to me is, which voice are you going to listen to? Mm. Because you had a doctor or like a lactation consultant at the hospital. So like somebody who has a title, somebody who has, I'm assuming, some sort of degree. Mm. So they have like a certain authority in them to tell you like, yes, you can, or no, you can't.
Yeah.
And that person told you, no, you can't. But something inside of you said like, no, no, no. I like, how can it be that God made me with breasts to be able to feed my children and somebody's going to tell me that I can't, you know, like, it's really important what voice you're going to listen to. There's one saying that says, whether you believe that you can or you believe that you can't, it doesn't really matter. You're both, like, you're always going to be right. It's all starts with like the mind, right?
Yeah.
And in that moment, you believed, although somebody with a title and authority was telling you, no, you can't, you believed that you could. Mm. And so you could.
Yeah.
It took time. And so, that's so important of what voice are you listening to? And it has to be, I believe, like realistic, or it has to be within the realm of possibility, right? Like you weren't like, I don't know, asking for something outrageous that nobody's ever done, or outrageous like that, that's out of the realm of possibility. Like, no. You have breasts. Breasts are made to feed children. And so you weren't asking for anything crazy. Like it was just... No, I know that I can. So that's very important. And the other thing that I heard from your story is when you were told that you couldn't, and you had like the sheer will of like, no, I can and I'll figure this out. You went online and you looked for community online. Mm. You went in person to look for community and surround yourself with people that have been there before, people that could help you get there. And that's another thing is like, who are you surrounding yourself with? I think is a great lesson from that as well.
That's good.
So honestly, it is not everybody has that will that you had, because a lot of people, I mean, well, some people I think wait for the voice of a doctor or somebody with a title to give them an excuse of, this is why I can't, you know, like. Some people don't have that drive in them, that fight in them. You know what I mean? Like some people are just like, all right, I just can't. You know, it is what it is. But other people like yourself are just like, no. Like, so I think the first step is like the sheer will, you know, like again, whether you believe that you can or you believe that you can't, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you accept and you do kind of like declare it over yourself, like, I can't, it's okay. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So sheer will. and you looked for their information, you looked for community, you surround yourself with people, you patience for sure, because that took patience. I remember. And then you also had like these little like shields or something like that, these like adapters or whatever.
Yeah, nipple shields.
Yeah, it was like an adapter for Elijah. And that's how you first started, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when it like first started working. And you're like, oh, David, look, 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 there's some milk in there. And you were so happy. But like that didn't come without the mental struggle.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I think that's a beautiful life lesson.
But you too. I feel like now I remember when he would scream, like I would get like just anxiety, like, oh my goodness, or, you know, and then you'd come and instead of being like, oh, just give him the bottle, like stop like making him scream, like you would just take him from me, calm him down and be like, do you want to try again? Or like, give me enough time to pump so we don't go to formula. Mm. Like you helped a lot. Cause I feel like if I didn't have a supportive partner and you knew how much I wanted to breastfeed, or you liked the benefits of breastfeeding, I don't know which one it was, or maybe both of them, where you were like, okay, I'm going to take this screaming child from you, calm him down. Cause I know like you're like, stressed out too. Mm-hmm. Calm both of you. And then we can guys can try again. And so that was super duper helpful. But it also goes back to like, no one's going to want it. Cause I remember I would be at church or meetings or restaurants or whatever it is. And people kind of would see and be like, this seems so complicated. Like Elijah would be so fussy and I'd be like nervous. And I would get some comments of like, oh, you just don't want to give him like formula, or like, oh, you're still trying to breastfeed, or, you know, these things. And it's like, no one's going to want it as bad as you want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, how bad do you want it? And are you going to, same thing, kind of like listen to those remarks? Or like, it is easier quitting 100%. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then later on, people look at you and they're like, oh, you got breastfeeding down. Then they think that's easy. Like, oh, you breastfed for 2 years. That must have been so like nice and easy for you. Like my kid didn't latch. And I'm just like, no, like he didn't latch. I like struggled, like I worked for this, like I struggled for this. But no one wants it as bad as you do. So it's like, how much work and patience are you willing to put in?
And that's so beautiful. Like to hear the full circle of, I put in the work, I put in the, like, I took on the challenge, and now because you took on the challenge, you're able to tell the story. Mm-hmm. Had you not, you wouldn't be telling the story.
Yeah.
You know, and you use it as like a life lesson, you use that as a testimony. And yeah, it's crazy that you say that. Like it happens with a lot of things where people don't see the process and they go, oh, like that must have been so easy for you. Just mm-hmm. like, no, you didn't see the beginning part. You know? You didn't see like all like the screaming and the anxiety and the stress or whatever. But yeah, it's beautiful. And I do remember, I think I've always had like a soft spot, and like, I always say like the underdog, but even in that scenario, like my thing has always been like, if I see that you are trying, you know, like what you were mm-hmm. trying your best to figure mm-hmm. that out, and you're trying, and I see that you're frustrated and this baby is screaming, like, my heart goes out to both of you, mm. you know, like he obviously wants to eat,
yeah.
and you're trying to figure this out, and you're trying like with everything that you have. It's just like, my heart like melts for that, you know, just like, how can I not be the husband that supports you and helps you and tries to like grab this baby, calm him down, and just let you just decompress a little bit. And then like ask you like, hey, do you want to try, or do you want me to give him the bottle? You know, mm. like being that support, you know? And I think I had kind of like forgotten about that. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, that's a huge aspect. Because I can imagine a man just getting frustrated and being like, you can't do it. Or maybe belittling the woman. Like, mm-hmm. don't you have it? Like, how hard is it? If I had it, I could just stick it in and he'd like, he'd drink it. Like, why? It's not that complicated. Yeah. Like, I can imagine that scenario. Like belittling the woman, making her feel inadequate, like she's not the mom that he needs, or just being like, okay, it's not working. Let's just, like, why are you so hung up on it? Like, you've tried mm-hmm. it. Let's just give him the bottle. Like, who cares about it? And you didn't. You took, I feel like, the most empathetic but hard approach of like, okay, let's try. You're not seeing results, but you had faith in both of us that Elijah was going to get it or I was going to get it, and it ended up working. So thank you.
Yeah, I know, like, the people that kind of know me probably would have thought that I would have snapped at you the way that you're describing.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's why I'd be like, I would get anxiety.
But like I said, it's the scene like that you're like really trying and you're like really, really just like, it's almost like you're running a marathon and you have nothing left, but you're not stopping and you're not quitting. Like you have no idea how you're going to get to that finish line, but you're just putting one foot in front of the other. That's what I saw in that moment of just like, I'm not giving up. Like I'm going to champion this through. I have nothing left in me, but I'm going to figure this out. And that's where I was just like, no, like I could never flip out on you. I could never like just scream at you and be like, why don't you just quiet this baby and just, you know, give him like a bottle or whatever. Like I could never like, just like, I'll support you every step of the way, you know? But yeah, that was a good life lesson. Good life lesson.
Yeah, he's already going to be like 8 this year. And so it's like, wow.
And he turned out to be a chubby baby when he got so that cute milk going. Holy smokes, that kid got big.
He was so cute.
Yeah. So for myself, I think I have 2 life lessons. I don't know if you have more, but I have 2 at least. I think I probably have more, but 2 that stand out. And one, the first one that I learned at a young age was that tough times don't last, tough people do. Mm. And the one Bible verse that got me through all of my tough times was Romans 8:18, which says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And I know that I probably interpreted it wrong, but I applied it to be able to survive the times that I needed to survive. And the reason why I say that is the way that I interpreted for the times that I needed was, I know I'm suffering right now. I don't understand it and I hate that I'm going through this, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. There's better days to come. And I know that when I get to those better days, they will not compare to the bad days that I'm going through right now. And so for me, like the darkest moment of my life and our, like not ours, but like before pre-marriage, like my mom, my brother, myself, and my dad, the darkest time was when my dad, you know, went into alcohol, he got into drugs, he basically mentally spiraled, and he went into this, like, I don't know, like, maybe a midlife crisis, because he turned into like a teenager where he wanted to party like every weekend. But I think he just had so many unresolved issues. And the reason why I say that is I could see so many times where, like, in between everything that he was doing and he was saying, he was just like, I want to be loved. I want to be respected. I want to be appreciated. But he just... obviously, he grew up with 19 brothers and sisters, or I think it was total of 19 of the kids. So, like, did he get love? Probably not.
That's crazy, yeah.
You know, most of the stories that I heard from his childhood was, like, somebody would say something that my grandma's kids were causing trouble, and so my grandma would go home and just start hitting all of them. It's just... and. Most of the time, apparently, the way that my dad tells it is, like, the stories weren't even true. But, I mean, how do you control 19 kids?
Yeah.
And how do you know who's telling the truth and who's not, you know? And so, but the point is that, you know, he got into that time, and it was about, like, 3-4 years of just, like, torment in our house. And, like, I truly, like, felt like it was a torment. And you could ask my mom, you could ask my brother, like, it was torment. And, and it was all, like, based through my father. And again, I see the situation now. And like I said, it was just a bunch of unresolved issues. It was him not being able to communicate. It was him not being able to receive love. Him and my mom, I don't think, had the best communication either. And they just, like, I never really heard them say something nice to each other. I remember they used to just go at each other, and sometimes as a joke or whatever, or like, but a lot of times, I mean, they were both Salvadorian. So like one joke could spiral into the humongous World War III. And it was just a lot of pride. But yeah, it was really dark. And why I say it was dark, it wasn't just like the alcohol and the drinking and the loud music till like 5 a.m. It was being in my bed in the basement right under my parents, and at like 2, 3 a.m. hearing my mom scream at the top of her lungs that she needed help. And I remember like waking up and anxiety, like I like truly felt, that was the only time I think I've felt like truly like anxiety. Like if there was a meter, like a thermometer meter, like my anxiety level would have busted that thermometer like into a million pieces. Like it just, I remember I used to run up and knock on the door and just open the door. So there was violence at home, TVs broken, walls with holes in them. Like, and it was like every weekend, we never knew what, it was like almost like a revolver when they're playing Russian roulette. It was like spinning the chamber and just like, today might be the day a bullet goes out, you know, but we don't know. Like it might be one of those days where we get home and my dad is just inebriated and he's just talking about the good old days and talking about his dad and talking about how my mom did him wrong. And, you know, like when he started going there, everything started spiraling. But the point is, like, it was such a crazy time. But it was that verse, Romans 8:18, where I just kept in my heart, like, these days suck, but better days are coming. And when those days come, they will not compare to everything that I'm going through right now. And I never really understood it. And you never do. That's definitely like a life lesson. When you're going through hard times, you rarely understand why you're going through them. Rarely. And going through tough times, I think, is more of a test of your faith, of your trust in God, your endurance, your spiritual growth. Like, there's a lot of tests in hard times, but it's a test. You're meant to pass it. Mm-hmm. And whether that's just through prayer and patience, like, so many of us, especially nowadays, we want things to be done, like, especially if it's like something dark, we want it to be done now. But imagine going through 3 years of darkness. Like, that was during the time, I think I shared in an episode or two back, like when my mom was like, I can't anymore. That was during that time. Mm-hmm. She's like, I can't go to church anymore. I'm done. She's like, I'm feeling faith like slip through my fingers. And you can imagine, like, just my mom had always been such a faithful prayer, and she fasted and she read her Bible and she was loyal at church and she served at church. And so you can imagine, especially, she was a very action driven person. So she's like, I'm doing all these things, and God, you still have me in this freaking storm of a life. Like, when will this end? And so many times I would hear her in her prayers, like, God, when will you end this? Like, it got to the point where I remember her saying, like, God, just take him. Just take him. Like, I don't know what else to do. Just take him. I can't handle this anymore. And so you can imagine the darkness and the anxiety and all the just tough times that we went through. And so, yeah, we didn't understand it. But what kept me going is, A, I have to be strong, because Jonathan at the time was in his teens. So I would never, like, I remember putting him in a room and just like, no, you don't come out of here, dude. Like, no matter what, you stay in here and I'll face what's going to happen or what is happening, but you stay in here. So it's just like, that drove me to, like, you know, continue moving forward. Cause I'm like, if I quit, if I give up, like, what the heck is going to happen then? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, one of us needs to stand up and fight. And again, I didn't understand why, you know, but years passed. And then I did, I was a youth pastor, and I remember sharing that testimony through sharing the word that I got from Psalms 23:5. And I remember, like, a bunch of kids came up to me and were like, I'm going through the exact same thing. And I just never forget. Like that's the one time where I kind of visualized us going to heaven, seeing Jesus and asking him, like seeing his wounds and stuff and just being like grabbing his hands and just be like, was this worth it? And him like looking back at us and saying, for you, every single second. And in that same way, I remember feeling that like with these kids where it's like, I never understood why, but I made it out of there. And now I'm telling this testimony. And now these kids are coming up to me, telling me I'm going through the same thing. Like, help me pray. Like, what should I do? And I was just like, all right, God, that was worth it. That was worth it. That made it worth it. You know, like, and that's where the balance of it all just completely, like, where the darkness was weighing so heavily and it had so many effects, like, that we got, like, traumatized. We got traumatized through that whole process. And it had so much weight for such a long time. But the moment that those kids came up to me and were like, well, I'm going through the same thing. Like, thank you for sharing that. Help us pray. Give us some advice. That balance just went completely like this. And just like that darkness had no more weight to it.
Yeah.
That darkness now had a purpose. And so many of us, when we're going through those dark times, we get so consumed, and we've talked about it before, when we get in the dark times, like we don't see clarity. It's foggy, it's shadowy, it's dark. Like we don't see what's going on. We don't see it, but that there is a purpose in that. There is a purpose. When it gets revealed to you, who the heck knows? Only God knows. But that it will be revealed to you, it will 100%. And so that was my moment where it was revealed to me and just like, oh, all right, cool. Like these are the moments that now far outweigh those dark moments. This is the glory that was to be revealed to me. And just like, oh, now that's a full circle. You know, like now there's meaning behind it. Now there's purpose behind it. Now it was more than just about me. It was more than just about my mom and my brother. Like it's now spreading and overpouring onto other people. And it's just like, okay, 100% worth it. And so that's my biggest life lesson is tough times don't last. Tough people do. And there's purpose to those tough times.
That's beautiful. But I think even your, like how you started, the tough times don't last, but tough people do. I feel like there has to be a better way to title that lesson. Because as you were speaking and you're getting like towards the end of the story, it seems like you didn't become a tough person. You became like an empathetic, like your heart became more flesh, like reaching out to them. I don't see like a tough person. Does that make sense? I feel like a tough person would be like telling those kids, oh, you're going to get out of it. Like, look at me. But your heart turned soft and you were like, I understand God. And your heart went out to them. Like it became flesh.
I think when I say tough times don't last, tough people do, during that time, I had to be a tough person. Like, if I would have been, let's say, not a tough person, a person that wasn't mentally fortified, let's say, if my heart wasn't fortified, if I didn't have God, if I didn't have prayer, if I didn't have God as my strong tower, like, I would have crumbled. And that's why I say, like, tough times don't last, tough people do, because during that time, I had to be tough. I had to be the one going in between my mom and my dad. I had to be the one protecting my brother. I had to be the one praying and believing for better days. I had to be the one still taking my brother to church, although my mom had stopped going. I had to be the one. I remember my dad one time, I think he texted me and he was like, this is it. I'm out of here. And like, I knew what he meant. And I remember I ran up and in my head, no lie, there was like a little bit of a debate of like, should I just let him do it or? But I'm like, no. And the reason why I said no, no, no is because, again, there was flashes of moments where I'm like, he is just a little kid wanting love. He's just a little kid that never got that love, that never got that embrace, that never got that I'm proud of you, that never got any of that. And so in all of his storm that he was making, that was at the core of it all. Mm. I want to be loved. I want to be admired. I want to be respected. And so I'm like, my heart goes out to that. So I remember I went upstairs. He was in the bathtub and I just sat there and I talked to him and I told him that he was appreciated, that he was loved. And in those moments, like, yeah, he would soften up. But I mean, Salvadorians, we're a prideful bunch, you know, like it takes just a little flinch for us. We're like Rottweilers, you know, that are just like, trained to like fight, you know, like just one little false move and we're already back to like growling and just ready to just like throw hands and stuff. Like, but yeah, so in those times I had to be tough, and the lessons that I learned from it made me empathetic, I think. Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
But I think, yeah, we all have times to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, like if I was too much in my feelings, too much of like, I have anxiety, I can't deal with this anymore, I need to leave this environment, like, what would have happened? Mm-hmm. You know, and so.
That's a huge lesson too, like going through it with Jesus. I feel like he turns everything into good. Or like your struggle, your torment, your storm is never in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think a moment like that or moments like that can have long lasting lessons that sometimes even take time to unpack. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I did therapy, I think it was this year or last year, or whatever, when I did it by myself, we started unpacking more of it. And the tough person that I was during that time was an emotionless person. I had to be emotionless. I had to remove emotion to be able to be the strong person, right? Like, and I think I use that also as a survival mechanism, because had I felt all the feelings that I was going to feel, mm-hmm. like I would have crumbled. And so now years later, I'm unpacking these things and like, oh, there's more lessons in here. It wasn't just about being tough. It wasn't just, you know, about being faithful. But now, like, now I'm unpacking, what did I actually feel through this? Now that it's far behind me, you know, now that I can safely just like unravel all this, just like, okay, let's unravel all these emotions. And it's just like, yeah, there's so much things that I kind of not trained myself, but it just like, it was an instinct to do. But since those tough times were no longer there, but I was still practicing those habits or practices, you know, that I practiced during those hard times, I needed to learn to like, okay, it's okay, man. Like, nobody's going to come after you anymore. Nobody's out to get you. Like, you can let go now, and you can now let go of all these feelings and process them all. And just like, okay, cool.
Yeah. I always I hate that you had to go through that as a kid, as a teenager, your brother, your mom. But knowing you guys, all three of you guys, and the people that you guys are now, and especially you, like the father that you are, the husband that you are, it's like, I just thank God, because I feel like, again, anyone could have gone through that moment and decided either to walk away or for it to completely form them, or it's too far. Right? Like their humanity like went to a side and they allowed this other version of themselves that wasn't meant for them to take completely over.
Mm-hmm.
But I think through it all, so say like going with it through Jesus, because through it all, you allowed like Jesus to be like, okay, you don't need, like you got through that, but now we're here and you don't need this. And let's put you back to like who you were meant to be. And so that's a beautiful lesson that I hope a lot of people can, because how you said, not not everyone knows how to cope with that. They don't know what to do with that. And a lot of people go through either that same exact situation or similar situations mm-hmm. where they feel like it's too tough. And so I'm glad you're sharing it.
Yeah. And just know that tough times don't last. Like, and by don't last, like, I don't mean like, oh, it's going to be over in a week. Like, mine lasted like three or four years, mm. you know?
And for your mom, even more.
Yeah. But that day will end, they will end. Mm. Like, the sun will shine again. You know, the glory days are coming. Mm. When they're coming, we don't know. But those tough times that you're going through is a test. And it's you being in the fire and you being purified. And they make you better. So long as you let them make you better, you know. I think there is a lesson to be learned during those tough times, and there is a test to go through, and we just have to trust. That's what it really comes down to. We just have to trust that God is not going to let you down. And just because you are going through tough times doesn't mean God has let you down.
Yeah.
God never promised you to not go through tough times. God promised you to never leave your side. And so whatever tough times you guys are going through, I would encourage you guys to have that endurance, to have that perseverance. Plain and simply, just be tough during those tough times. Don't give up. The story is still being written, and you'll understand soon enough.
Those are great lessons.
All right, next on to you. Lesson number two? No? Yes? No?
Not that I can think of. I feel like I have a lot, but...
Nothing else pops up? Okay, mm-hmm. I'll go again. Another big life lesson that I learned... was actually with you.
Oh, I have one now. Just kidding.
This life lesson, I don't think I'll ever forget. And I'll never forget because, okay, so we're going through some sort of transition. And I remember I told somebody, you are like a stallion. Mm. You run at 100 miles per hour. You're a beast of a person. One day you're going to be running at that 100 miles per hour. You're going to look back and you're going to expect loved ones. You're going to expect people falling right behind you. But you're going to sadly realize that there's probably only a handful, if that, that have been able to keep up with you. And it's because you never learned to slow down and teach the ones coming behind you how to run like you. And I remember, I'm like, damn, that's good. Like,
that's good work.
I got them good, you know? And like about a week later, I felt like God just like slapped me and just like, buddy, you thought it was just for him, but it was for you too. And I'm like, what the heck? And I remember like he brought you into mind. And it was during a time where I was still a youth pastor. You weren't really serving. You would miss a good amount of Sunday services. Like you just like were in the background, really.
Well, that's when I had my second kid.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember I would poke at you just like, wow, you're not doing anything. You're not even involved. You're not even like faithful and going to church on Sundays. Like, and we were like really disconnected, me and you, like really disconnected. Like I guess looking back at it, I had no empathy for you. Like I was just like, what are you doing? Like get to work. Mm-hmm. And you in between the lines were just like, I don't feel good. I can't do this.
Yeah.
I need help. And we just couldn't figure out the communication. But I remember again, God slapped me with this, and it's like, you think that was just for that person, but it was for you too. And I'm like, then he brought you in mind, and I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it. And it was in that moment where I knew that our life had to shift, and that it shifted. It shifted like almost completely. Mm-hmm. We made major changes, and we decided to start doing couples therapy. And through the couples therapy, like, we began to connect like we've never connected before. We learned how to communicate with each other. We learned how to understand each other. During those sessions, there were like huge moments of understanding. And just like, oh my goodness, like, I get it. Mm-hmm. And during that whole process, that's when I truly believe that my heart connected to yours. I don't know if yours was already connected to mine or had disconnected or whatever, but me personally, that's what I felt. I'm like, my heart is like really connected to Grace now. Like, where I could say, like, before, I didn't really trust that you had my back. I didn't really, like, you were my wife, but I didn't, like, really feel like, you know, we're really in this together. Like, it was, like, almost like being on a team, but not being sure that we're both going towards the same thing, like, trying to, like, working together or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. But during that time, I'm like, we connected, we learned how to communicate. I feel like I've truly fell in love with you. And from that moment on, like, I'm not saying that there wasn't hiccups, but we both, I feel like we're intentional with, all right, we're going to press the slowdown button to the point where we're going back to basics and we're building this foundation. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying that there hasn't been hiccups, but little by little over, how long do you think it's been? Four years?
Yeah.
About 4 years. We slowed down, we stopped serving, we basically unplugged from any titles that we had. We focused on our marriage, we focused on our kids. In the last year or so, we focused even more on family. And what I'm trying to get at with the life lesson is, especially in marriage, but also in leadership, in marriage, you should be walking step by step with your spouse. If one of the two cannot run, the other must not run. Some people might debate me on this, but I mean, I've practiced both. And what worked for this marriage was that I slowed down because I felt like I was running at 100 miles per hour as well. I felt like I was killing it in the youth. I felt like I was like faithful at church and, you know, doing everything possible to make things better. And you were, again, in between the lines of like, I can't. I don't have the energy to move. I don't have the energy to stand up. I don't have the energy. And this is like figuratively, obviously. and when I finally pressed the brake and I finally slowed down, I think that is the only reason why me and you could connect the way that we did. And the reason why I bring this life lesson up is because with our 9-year anniversary, you put it into your caption.
I was going to be like, did you catch that?
Which meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me. And that's why, like, I brought it up.
Should I pull it up?
Yeah, pull it up and read it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I wonder if he...
No, of course I caught it. No, that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, I said, in the beginning, it was an excited yes and maybe even a little naive, but I'd say yes all over again. Thank you for walking beside me through it all, for slowing down when I needed you to, for protecting me, providing for us, and moving us forward one step at a time. Thank you for loving me with grace and patience, for forgiving and choosing us over and over again. Now, 9 years later, we're not just walking, but we're running together, hand in hand, building something that will last a lifetime. I love the life we've created, and I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. That means so much to me because I was making such a fatal mistake before of running and thinking that I was basically living like a single life and just being like, I'm doing me and I hope she does her her stuff, and if she doesn't, like, oh well, I'm doing me. And it took me that slap from God to realize, like, nah, dude, you're one. And you're not going to get anywhere without her. Every time you're going to want to do something, your foundation is cracked. So you're always going to fall deep, deep down. And that was during around the time when you were like, I'm done. I'm done with you.
Yeah.
And that was just a prime example of, like, the foundation was super cracked. There was basically no foundation. And I'm so grateful that God spoke to me like that. I'm grateful that I listened. I'm grateful that we got to walk together. And it's such an amazing feeling to see you write that and be like, we are now running together. Which, honestly, like, I'm glad that I could die to my pride in that sense. Because it meant a lot to me to be a youth pastor. And it wasn't just the title, but it was like the ability to be in a place of authority to be able to help people. I did my best to help those kids. And I gave that up because you meant more to me than a title or a position. And this, the way that the story has unfolded is much more beautiful than any other story could have unfolded. And I think that we've been building and continue to build a strong foundation with our marriage and with our parenting, and obviously through, like, because of God, thanks to God. And to be able to be patient and to see you write those was just like, obviously we're not at a finish line, but it felt like we crossed some sort of finish line of, like, we made it. We're striding together. And we literally ran together on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, like, to be at a point where now I see you so joyful to serve at church. So joyful to, like, be doing something that you love, to teach the Bible, to be part of something bigger than yourself. And I see the love that you have for it, the love for the people that are attending it. I see your excellence through that. And I'm just like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, you were just like, I can't move. I can't serve. I can't do anything. And I know, like, that goes in hand with the trailblazing episode that we gave. Like, I know that our kids right now, sometimes they're like, I want mom. But little by little, they're going to be like, my mom is a freaking beast at being a teacher at the Bible study. My mom helps so many people learn about God, understand the words that were written in the Bible. Like, and I know that sooner or later, those kids are going to look at you and be like, I'm proud of you. And it was because the decision that me and you took to walk hand in hand and go through our process. But yeah, I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for that life lesson, you know? And that life lesson wouldn't have been possible without obedience.
Yeah. And I think so many of us, like, we lose sight of what matters, like, when we're running. Like, I think you do get a natural high, like, from running. And so you're excited. You see, I mean, you loved those kids. Those kids loved you. And it wasn't, I think, a wrong, like, calling. I think it was just bad, like, healing from the past, bad, mm-hmm. like timing in our marriage. But I think when you run alone and you get that high, like, you start to, like, not care. Like, it kind of becomes selfish of, like, oh, this is what I get to do. And it's not wrong. Like, running is not, and I'm, like, trying to paint in a picture of, like, it in a physical way so people could understand. And I think it makes it easy because we're also going through it physically now. Because like running in and itself is not wrong. Like it's good for you. It's healthy. It's awesome. But when you start like forgetting about everything and training to the point where like you don't care about anybody, it becomes selfish. And so I think so many people lose themselves in that, in what turns out to be like a good thing. And before you know it, they're like, how did I get here? Because they had good intentions. They were on the right path. But how you say, they just lose focus on what matters to them. Like they lose focus on their loved ones. They lose focus on how much time they're away or whatever it is. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Be like fighting those thoughts of like, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Like anyone can easily say that and be like, oh, well, she just doesn't get it, or she's not supportive, or, and it's like at that moment, like I was in a hole, like I didn't know what to do. But the fact that you like saw me and you just didn't say like to heck with her, like who cares? Cause it could have been a whole different outcome. Like it could have been, we would have been divorced, or I would have been like hating you. Like, and again, something that was good could have turned into a huge issue. So a lot of the times you have to, it's not just about like, is this a good thing? It's okay, the person that I'm supposed to love, like my first ministry, is that being taken care of? Because I do see so many, more often than not, like so many couples serving in ministry, pastoral families, where in the name of ministry or in God, they hurt each other, or their families break apart, or marriages are breaking apart. And it's not because of the deed, but it's like your action. Like Jesus never, like I'm sure he would stop in they're walking for the disciples. Like he was not going to be like, you guys can't catch up, peace out. You know, like he walked with them. And so he had to go at their pace if they're all 12 going to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he was never that leader of like, no, you go at my pace or you're lost, right? He was always a servant leader, and I think that takes a lot to be like, I'm not doing anything wrong, but right now is not the time.
Yeah.
Like I need to serve my wife or my house.
Yeah, I think there's a saying that goes, you can go fast on your own, but you go further when you're with people. Mm. Something like that. And so the life lesson for this is, especially in marriage, if you need to slow down for your spouse, slow down. And that may mean that you need to kill your pride, kill it. It's not worth you having your pride. Your pride is not going to keep you company at the end of your days. Mm. Your pride is not going to keep you warm. Your pride is not going to give you love. If anything, your pride is going to kill every single relationship that you have.
Yeah.
And then this also serves as a life lesson in regards to leadership. We when we did the leadership episode, we talked about this, where there's some leaders that just go based off talent. Like if you're at my level, okay, get on this team. If not, sorry, you're not going to make the team. Mm-hmm. But the more effective leader is the one that goes, okay, we can have talent here, but we're also going to grow the talent here. We're going to all slow down, and we're all going to train each other, help each other, support each other, and then we're going to launch forward. Mm-hmm. And similar to this, we're just like, David, slow down. Slow down with your wife and see how much this pays off. Slow down and see that the relationship will get better. The marriage will get better. The family will get better. We'll get to a point where we're running, and we're going to get to a point where we're just doing great things.
Yeah.
Which recently I made the decision to, I guess, kind of push all my chips in regards to like being of service. And it didn't really click until right now, where it's just like, maybe that's subconsciously why. Because I see you thriving, and I'm like, she's good. She's not just surviving anymore. She's thriving. She's doing amazing, where I'm like, all right, now it's my turn. Let's go. You know, it's like that sense of peace, where it's just like, okay, I'm not making the same mistakes as before. Mm. Now I allowed you to go into your serving, like season, and I'm like, okay, all right, let's see. All right, it's proven, you know, like the because you've been serving in the study hub for a while now, right?
Yeah, I think it's it was in last January.
Last January? Not this past January? So it's been more than a year? Or is it this January?
I did 2 8-weeks with them. Plus like the in-betweens.
So it's been some time, right?
Yeah.
And every single time, because I think also like subconsciously, I was also like, you know, she usually gets excited at the beginning and then during the middle, she starts complaining. But you've just been excited the whole way through. You've been so excited and so like motivated. And like I said, just thriving in what you're doing. Like you care so much about what you're doing and you're being given the space to just flap your wings and just fly, mm-hmm. you know? And so, I think subconsciously that's kind of maybe what made me just go like, okay, I'm ready. I'm all in. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been beautiful. But that's my second life lesson of slow down, walk with your people, walk with your wife, walk with your spouse, gain momentum together, do everything together, champion together.
Those are good lessons. And especially like the dichotomy of like your first lesson of tough times. And then now like what happened when you slowed down. Like, it's beautiful to see that your whole life story play out. And I'm so excited for your next, like, chapter and season because anyone who knows you, like, knows, like, oh, you'll thrive. And so just to see that, I'm super excited. And thank you for, I guess, letting me go and trusting me, seeing. I'm excited.
And I guess to add one more thing, our pride sometimes does not allow us to make the certain sacrifices that we need to make. And I believe that I, at least somewhat, died to my pride to be able to sacrifice what I wanted for that time to be able to slow down with you, right? Mm-hmm. And now, again, we've gone full circle. Now I'm telling the testimony of that sacrifice paid off 100-fold. And I think, again, there could be sometimes doubt when you first start into something like that, you know, just like the tough times, when you get into the tough times, there's a little bit of doubt of like, when is this going to end? Is this ever going to end? Like, I mean, we're human.
Yeah.
It's just like, we can only withstand so much, you know, and that sometimes our tests are greater, just like, and sometimes we think it's greater than we can even handle, you know? So in the same way with the sacrifice, I think there was maybe like a little bit of doubt. Is this going to be worth it? You know, is this going to work? You know, and I have a similar mentality as you, like when you said with like the breastfeeding, where I'm just like, that's why I like when we shifted, you were just like kind of shocked with how much we shifted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we're going into couples therapy. We're doing this, we're doing that. And we're going. And I kind of had that same mentality of like, no, that we're going to figure this out. We're going to figure this out. Like I'm going all in on this, you know? And, but going all in something and you're sacrificing, it's just like, is this going to pay off? You know, there's always that question. And then the follow-up question is, how long is it going to take to realize that this sacrifice is worth it or not? Mm. And I think there is moments of weakness where, you know, we might get in a fight and I'm just like, oh, I did all this for no reason, you know, like, oh my goodness, like, why did I do this? I need to just look out for myself, you know, like, in all honesty, like, there's those thoughts and those feelings, you know, just like, whether that's the enemy or your own, just like, you know, childhood trauma or whatever, but just like, you have those thoughts, but then you go back and you're just like, no, let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep persevering. It's going to pay off. And we got to the point where like, now we're declaring like it paid off. And that makes me so happy. So like the life lesson there is sometimes your pride does not want to let you sacrifice, but do the sacrifice that God is calling you to do. that is going to pay off. It's going to pay off. And the one thing that I've been reading over and over again in John, it was like, there's so many times where Jesus was like, I did, like he did something just so the words that were written before could be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Like, and it just over and over tells me like whatever was said, whatever was ordered, whatever, like whatever God said is going to happen. The when is what we don't know.
Yeah.
But that it'll happen, it'll happen. And so if God's calling you to sacrifice something, sacrifice it. And with time, with us, it took us like, what, 4 years to realize like, oh, it paid off?
Like three-ish, because Raya was like around one.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's taken that much, that long to like be like, oh, like, look at that, yeah. You know? But it's beautiful because it's like, oh, like it was the right move. It was, yeah. God was in it, you know? And so it's just a beautiful story and testimony.
Yeah, it is.
Any last life lessons before we end this episode?
No, let's end it. We could do the next.
Did you have another one?
Well, I feel like as you were talking, I was like, oh, with the once we started our hiking journey, like there was just so many like preachings and lessons I was learning about like hiking and
hiking did teach us a lot of lessons.
Yeah, like we would tell everybody.
I remember I did a preaching on the hiking once.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I truly believe. And then I was like, oh yeah, but I've talked about them in the past, how like suffering is a gift, like the huge lesson of my mom. And so I was like, oh, I have more lessons, but.
Yeah. And I think honestly, for me personally, the gist of like the hiking lessons is mostly just, you're going to get into something. It's going to be really hard. Persevere through it. The summit is always worth it. It might take a long time. It might make your body ache and your mind ache and your heart ache, whatever. But every single time you get to the summit, it's always worth it. Mm. And it kind of goes together with like what I just said about the sacrifice, like whatever God is calling you to sacrifice, whatever God is calling you to, like whatever mountain he's calling you to climb up, do it. It's going to take some time. But in the end, once you reach the summit, you're going to be like, you're just going to scream at the top of your lungs, this was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yes. Very good times. So that concludes this episode titled Life Lessons. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I want to thank you guys for all the love and support. We really appreciate it. And we just encourage you guys to like, subscribe, comment, DM us if you want. If you guys have any questions or any, you know, prayer requests or anything like that, we are here to help in any way possible. And I hope that you guys all feel that. We love you guys, and we will see you guys on the next one. Bye. Bye.